the intro.
Hello. Hello. And welcome to Coffee with Cashy. I'm your host, Dr. Trevor Cashy, doing a special edition of Coffee with Cashy here because we had an interesting question, a good question. One of our fabulous members in our private client program, he was like, beep, boop, beep, boop, whoops. Dude, Dr. Cashy, can you explain to me what is happening and why we keep increasing my calories instead of chopping away at them all the time? Beep, beep, boop, beep, whoops. It's a great question. TKN does this a lot. Raising calories all the time, feeding people more all the time, giving them food. What is going on? Well, I often advise increasing energy intake throughout a fat loss and recovery phase, building up calorie intake. Why are we doing this? What's going on? Are we convincing our body of something? What is this magic? Okay, that's it's a pretty big list of reasons why TKN employs this sort of method, and you can find some value in it and employ it yourself as well. Okay, so let's overlook the super fancy science stuff and break down the most important points. Why, in some cases, it's better to add energy back during a fat loss phase, and what that means practically. So breaking this down, the beginning of a lower calorie phase, it's common to start low, like real low, relative to what is normal in the context of a normal calorie intake in the beginning. So in this situation, everybody's kind of improving their measuring and tracking and logging and reporting skills and their inferential skills, as it were, understanding what the information means as they gather it. So it's a combination of learning the ropes. It's a combination of learning the ropes so that they are, because people are more likely to over-report than they are to under-report. Just leave it that way. There's a few reasons for this, but it's just safest to assume that because their overall competency for measuring and reporting is, honestly, everybody starts out pretty bad. People start out sucking at things until they get experience doing them. That's sensical, right? It's clear that the presumed amount of food, the presumed amount of calories that a person is eating, that they're low enough that their actual calories that they are consuming relative to what they're reporting is significantly less than what they're currently eating. So it's a fancy way of saying if you suggest calories that are low enough, even if they are overeating, it will still be underneath what they are currently eating, right? This is true for even skilled veterans of self-monitoring, even skilled vets, even yours truly, okay? When energy is way high, when you're eating a lot more all the time, it's easier to get lax. So there's even a bit of a washout period. If you're used to going through this, the cyclical nutrition phases of gaining, losing, maintaining, etc. on purpose, then when your food gets a little bit higher, it's easy to just like, oh, my food's already high, so whatever, I'll just eat a little bit more. Funny enough, that's when your margin of error is actually lower. You're more likely to get fatter when you're already eating close to what you need to eat to maintain your weight. In any case, the same principles apply. Right? So if it's your first time or it's been a while, it's good to learn and relearn and sharpen those measuring, tracking, logging, and reporting and inferential skills. And so by really choosing the starting points the way we do, particularly low in a lot of cases, honestly, it builds in creates a built-in buffer so that you can still make progress, again, while you're sharpening and resharpening the skills that cement your results. Next, it's the most annoying thing in the whole entire world, practically the whole entire world, that the lowest part of the low calorie phase, that the lowest part of it must be the absolute worst, okay? Because your energy is at its lowest, at the crappiest part of the low calorie phase, the fat loss phase. Additionally, this also means that when your calories are lowest in the midst of a low calorie phase, typically, it also means that's when your body fat is the lowest. So your lowest body fat is matched up with your lowest calories. That sucks. It sucks. The only way you can go is up. But I think this is a primary reason why a lot of methods fail. Most methods fail. If you look your best at the crappiest part of the plan, well then, how does that make any sense? You're literally set up to fail. And the way we operate, the way TKN operates, it seems kind of counterintuitive at first, but it makes more sense when you take a step back and actually think about what's going on in real life instead of what's going on in a textbook or an Excel spreadsheet. Okay, when body fat is at its highest, that's when you have your greatest tolerance to the lowest amount of food. You're more likely to lose fat instead of muscle when your body fat is relatively high, even when you're doing all the other muscle sparing stuff. Okay, like eating higher protein and being more physically active, things of that nature. For that reason, this is leveraged to be the fastest part of the fat loss phase. When you're carrying the most fat, that's when the calories are lowest, when you are your fattest. Imagine that, okay? Then, as you progress through the fat loss phase, your body fat starts to climb. However, your energy may tend to go up. The amount of food that you eat ends up increasing. And this means that by the end of the fat loss phase, there's an inverse correlation between the energy you were consuming, food you were eating, and your body fat, in practical terms anyway. So that is to say that instead of your body fat being the lowest, and your food being the lowest at the same time, your body fat is the lowest when your calories are at the highest part. Pretty neat, right? So next is that it creates a more psychologically satisfying approach to fat loss because you know that more food is coming. More food is coming. It's different from most nutrition coaching where it's like a countdown to doomsday when you check in. We're like, oh crap, am I gonna lose more food this week or not? Oh God, it's horrible. I can't stand it. Why bother? Am I gonna be good? Am I gonna cut? What's happening? There's always some sort of like anxiety build up when you go to check in. Like if your body weight stays the same or goes up a little bit, which is what happens with daily body weight things in any phase of nutrition or training or whatever. It's strange, but it occurs for a number of reasons. There's always a little bit of anxiety, like, oh, am I going to have to eat less next week? Well, in this method, you already have an idea that you're probably going to eat the same or more, okay? You know that there's going to be an incline in energy. You know that there's going to be more food available week to week on average, okay? It's also more physiologically satisfying approach to fat loss because the relative food satisfaction is highest when body fat is highest. Okay, like I already mentioned, that means it's easier, it's more tolerable to have less food when you're carrying more body fat, and it's harder to eat less food when you're carrying less body fat. The lower your body fat is, the hungrier you are. So that makes sense to be eating the most on a relative scale during that phase, during that part of the phase. So this is structured so that you get the most food at the end of the fat loss phase, right? So even though it might seem counterintuitive to go a little bit lower at the very beginning, this takes advantage of the fact that your food satisfaction and meal satisfaction is much higher when your body fat is higher. So oddly enough, less food is more tolerable when you're fatter. Okay, just that's the way she goes. And as you get leaner, less food is less tolerable, which is why near the end of the fat loss phase, you can prioritize calorie density and meal timing and total calories so that you stay satisfied with your food and continue to make progress and cement progress as the amount of food you eat during the fat loss phase goes up. So this is also a more logistically feasible approach to fat loss because there's a healthy cyclical nature to the way your plan works out. Like the sort of recovery phase is built into the fat loss phase. So it's easier to figure out how long it's going to go, and when you'll swap to a more performance-oriented phase outside of a fat loss or recovery phase. This provides you with a way to squeeze the last drop of blood out of the stone, so to speak. I don't even know if that's the right phrase. It sounds right to say, okay, moving on. Basically, each time you end up improving your position. You improve your position calorically, how much food you eat, and you improve your position compositionally, how your body looks, how much muscle mass, how much fat you have, okay? So if you stick to this method closely, then your calorie to body fat to performance ratio will continue going up, okay? The amount of food you consume, how well you perform, and how good you look all end up going up with each other over time on a relative scale. So this is to maximize the most food at the lowest body fat with the greatest performance. Pretty sweet, okay? It's also a more permanent approach to fat loss because with other methods, there's tons of pressure to be living on rabbit food for eternity to keep your body fat low. This method totally destroys that belief. The end of the fat loss phase is when your body fat on the relative scale is the lowest, but it's also on a relative scale probably when your food is going to be highest. Because if you have a successful fat loss phase, lots of people do, but then they're stuck. You get stuck, you lose all this fat, and your food is in the pooper, you're eating rabbit food, and then what do? Nothing! Are you eating very low amounts of food? Your exercise might be very high, and your body fat might be okay, your exercise might be through the roof, you're on poverty portions of food, and that sucks. How can anyone stay sane like that? Well, they go unsane. They start binging like crazy and completely destroying months of work in a few days. And with this method, that's a worry of the past. With other methods, your body fat tends to be lowest when your food is lowest. All this does is reinforce the same crap that's been going on all along. I must starve to look good. It causes all sorts of problems. And ultimately, a person can only keep up with that if they're troopers for a few months at a time until they can't stand it anymore, any longer. And with this sort of system, the amount of food you eat relative to your body weight actually goes up. And the original asker hinted, the private client hinted in the question, like, is there some magic going on with the body? What's happening? Is there any sort of strange physiology going on? And the answer is no, there's very cool physiology going on. Okay. This is quite possibly, on paper and in lots of measurements that we've taken a more hormonally healthy approach to fat loss relative to other draconian starvation methods, because this sort of fat loss process, you stay relatively thermogenic the entire time. As you purposefully take your food back up, then you are potentially increasing all types of other thermogenesis as well. Non-exercise activity thermogenesis, the thermogenic effect of food, brown fat thermogenesis, like there's all sorts of thermogenesis caused from thyroid hormone, etc., etc., etc. Additionally, possibly one of the most important factors of long-term results is that your improved calorie to body fat ratio gives you more energy to work with the next time you decide to go into a fat loss phase, if you even want to at all, okay? Most time you only need to do this once if you do it right the first time. If you really stick to it the first time, you really got to lose fat like one time, maybe twice. Then when you get back to the top, you can hang out for a little while at the top, go into a performance phase, and then if you do decide you want to go through another fat loss phase, you're in a better position. You're eating more food than you were before, relatively. Your body fat is starting out lower. So now the amount of food that you remove in order to lose fat is less, and the amount of body fat that you want to lose, relatively speaking, is also less. So each consecutive time you go through a fat loss phase, it gets easier and easier and easier. And depending on the sort of speed, it would also be shorter and shorter and shorter. Or you can move your food down just a little bit, make the fat loss phase last a little bit longer, but also have it be quite nice, be easy, easier, okay? So some things to consider. You're in a better position every time you go through a fat loss phase, if you need to go or want to go through more than one, more than two, okay? So harmonizing all these cycles together is why so many of our private clients have such crazy reported calorie intakes relative to their body weight. So many people, regular people, they're efficient with their energy, and that sucks. It's decent if you're a car, maybe, right? Like, you want good gas mileage. But being a Prius of a human stinks. That sucks. That means you take very little energy and you go very far with it. Like, everybody knows that person who's like, if I just look at donuts, I get fatter. It's probably a very energy efficient person. They can survive on very little. That makes fat loss a frustrating experience that you can't stand. You want the exact opposite. You want to be the gas-guzzling Hummer, the Lambo. More energy use, more output, more performance. More, 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 more. More food, more performance. Everything ends up working out for the better that way, okay? Thank you so much for learning. Stay rational. Until next time. Want to continue having coffee with Dr. Cashy? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It is very much appreciated. Thank you, and see you next week. Dr. Cashy is out!